Easter's coming up. Yes. You like Easter? What's your favorite part of Easter? Eggs? Yeah, okay. That sounds good. Chocolate bunnies. So Easter's coming up. We're not going to give you anything to hand out to people this year. Sometimes we print out cards and we want you to invite people. Here's what I want you to do right now. Before we even launch into this, I want you to think of one person in your world here in Laramie or Nebraska, okay, or wherever you're from. I want you to think of one person in your world that doesn't know Jesus. You got that person's name? Feedback, good. I was thinking, man, this is taking a long time. One person in your world that is in your hometown that doesn't know Jesus. Here's what we're going to do right now. We're going to pray for that person. And we're going to pray for you that you get an opportunity to invite that person to church on Easter Sunday. Can we do that? Is no one with me on this? I want to pray for that person, and I want to pray for the opportunity that you have to go and be a part of this person's world and invite them into church. Because it's important, right? You're tired of my questions. It's important. Jesus commanded that we go. He commanded that we go be the church. And so many of us are scared to be the church or just even make the ask and make the invite. But I want you to pray about this one person. Let's take a minute, okay? And we're going to pray for this one person, and we're going to pray for your opportunity to encounter them this week and invite them to church on Easter Sunday. Okay? Here we go. God, the importance of your message of grace and of mercy, the importance of your message of Jesus and his life and his death and his resurrection, the importance of us bringing the kingdom here on earth, God, you've made known all of these things through the scripture, through the Bible. God, we want to take those things seriously. We want to be a part of that world, and we want others to know who you are as a result of it. So God, this week, all the names that are floating around in people's heads right now, for each individual person, God, I pray for an encounter. I pray for a God-ordained encounter with these people that don't know you and a God-ordained conversation about just, hey, would you come to church with me on Sunday? That's as easy as it is. But God, we want you to move in their hearts right now. We want you to move in their world right now. So when that question's asked, they would respond how you ask them to respond. God, we trust you in this. We know that you work in the lives of us and those around us. And we want to see others know you. It's in your name we pray. And everybody said, amen. I'm serious about this invitation thing, okay? Whitewater people, we better triple in size. And you can't be a family of five and ask one person. Nope. Uh-uh. You can't be a family of five and ask one person. Each one of your family members knows somebody that doesn't know Jesus that needs invited somewhere. All right? Deal? Romans 5, here we go. I'm going to read it, 1 through 11. Paul says this, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we also have obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame. Because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps one, for a good person, one would dare even die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we have been saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. There's a lot of words in there, but I want to focus in on this word, peace. How many of you feel at peace this morning? Some people are raising their hands. Wives are trying to get their husbands to raise their hands for them. I don't know what's going on over there. Tanya, pay attention. That looked like a side conversation. Would you like to share it with everyone? No? Okay, all right. That was fun. That was fun. But I want to focus in on this word peace. In the Hebrew, you might know that the word peace is shalom. In the Greek, it's actually Irene. And what it means is a pervasive concept in the Bible that most commonly relates to a relationship of love and loyalty with God and one another. And that's what this Romans book is about, this relationship with God. If you see our Romans graphic, you see arrows up and down. That's our relationship with God. And then you see arrows coming in from the side. That's our relationship with one another. And this peace, this definition of peace, is so often, I think, misunderstood in my world. I can get pretty angry because I don't feel peaceful a lot of times. Is that anybody else, or is it just me? I'm the only one. Good. You guys are real responsive today. I appreciate that. But this peace I get aggravated with because I don't understand what this peace means. I read this peace about in New Testament and Old Testament, and I get really frustrated. Because a lot of times I don't feel at peace. But William Hendrickson says this: the basic meaning of peace is reconciliation with God through the death of his Son. That implies the removal of the divine wrath from us, the sinner. And we know that sin is not necessarily wrongdoing, but wrong being in relationship to God. That's what this peace is. It's a removal of that. And the later's restoration to divine favor, meaning we are right with God. We are in right being with our Creator. The most important relationship we could ever have here, anywhere, is being in right relationship with our Creator. And that happened through Jesus, as Paul unpacks it later through the other verses. It happened through Jesus' death that we were even able to have this peace. He made peace with himself for us. There's nothing that we could do. Are these past teachings in Romans, for those of you that have been with us, starting to make sense as we start going down the line? Justified through faith. Justified through righteousness. But this definition of peace, so what does it mean? It means I'm always peaceful and nothing wrong is going on in my world. Is that what it means? Wrong. Okay? And what's beautiful is we kind of skip over it. We read this one word of peace, you know, and we just, oh, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then we just keep reading through. Well, wait a minute, what is this peace? And how does this appease? How do we even attain this peace? And he goes on to say that it's because of Jesus that we have this peace, that we attain it through him, that we attain it through our faith in that. But I love what Paul says, because we also want to skip over this. He says, through him we have obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but this is where the rubber meets the road. We rejoice in our sufferings, tribulations. What? We rejoice in that? Why? Why do we rejoice in that? Knowing that suffering produces endurance. Oh, yeah. That's fun. Knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame. This life in Jesus, this life that we who say we love Jesus, who say yes to Jesus, is so backwards, is so counter to anything that we've ever been a part of. Would you agree with that statement, those of you that follow Jesus? We rejoice in the suffering. We rejoice because it's building character. We rejoice because it's giving us hope. Well, no, but what about that word suffering, though? That doesn't sound fun. And Paul never promised this beautiful life, this life of peace as we want to define it. Paul's pretty out there in the open with it, and so is Jesus. And I find it incredible as I look back in my life, like, where does this happen for me? That's a common thing. I teach from the heart, Max. I read the Bible and I say, you know, it's like reading anybody's book. And you say, well, yeah, that's one occasion. That's one person's story. And it's so grand and so incredible. That would never happen to me in Laramie, Wyoming. And then God says, well, here's a story for you. I'm gonna share something about us. Can I do that? You and me? I want to preface this with, my wife says anything that is within our story that is teachable, you can use. Most times I speak about things and people are freaked out because, his poor wife. Why would she allow him to say such things? And if you've known our relationship, there's no way it's stopping. It just flows out of my mouth. But I watch this piece, and I find this unrest in my life with Jesus. And I want to speak real about this because there's so much misunderstanding about what this is. And so I have peace in Jesus, right? I have this understanding of peace, kind of. Until my life is not in peace. My life is in pieces. And then I want to look at Scripture and say, that's a lie. That doesn't make any sense. And so last Sunday, my wife and I had this beautiful fight about cleaning a toilet. And it wasn't about her cleaning the toilet or me cleaning the toilet. It was literally about how to clean the toilet. Yeah. This is fight worthy. Okay? In my mind, in my spirit, this was something to fight about. Because I'm really cool. And I'm like, you know what, our life is so good, I think we should at least fight about something. Let's fight about how someone cleans a toilet. And all of this was sparked by chaos. The toilet... the toilet so rudely chose one of my children to overflow on. And my child was very angry at the toilet. Not only that, but the universe. God, of course this would happen to me. It's got it out for me. Angry. And so as I'm standing in urine water and fecal water, I start asking questions. Questions weren't answered satisfactorily in the moment as I'm heated. And so we start fighting. And all week my life has been in pieces ever since. Because there's something within my spirit called pride. I don't know if any of you have heard of this word, or experience this this thing called pride. But all week, this thing called pride has been welling up in me and telling me, Adam, your reaction to the circumstance was just. And if you just hold out, you're going to get an apology from everyone. This is logic, right? You're going to get an apology from everyone, and they're going to say, you know what, Dad? You know what? Baby cakes, that's what she calls me. Actually, she's never called me that. You know what? You were right. And so I ended up practicing this really cool thing called Cold War, where you just don't really speak to your spouse or look at your spouse or acknowledge that your spouse is in the room, because that's what a Christian man does. In the most loving way, you ignore your spouse. You hear how awesome this is? Do you hear how awesome I am? And this goes on until yesterday afternoon over how to clean a toilet. My pride creeps in, takes over. All the while, I'm hearing from God, you know what? You're being a donkey. And I go to my LTG group, which is a life transformation group, if you want to know more. And I think you do need to know more. You do want to know more. Life transformation group is about reading scripture with a small group of individuals, praying for people in your world that doesn't know Jesus, that they know Jesus, talking about where you see God moving in your world and how you're responding to that. And then you confess sin to one another. And I was so hoping this issue with my wife was going to be done before Saturday. Because you kind of walk in a little bit tail-tucked, like, I got to confess this to this group of individuals. And it's going to sound so stupid. And sure enough, this was unfinished business as we met yesterday afternoon, or yesterday morning, and I said, please pray. This is my confession. They said, how can we pray for you? I said, please pray that this is just done today. Because I can't live like this anymore. I can't live as awesome as I've been trying to live. And there was reconciliation that happened in the afternoon. And I tell you that because it felt like my life was in pieces. I was uneasy, I was unrestful, and it was of my own making because I was also very prideful. Unwilling to yield, unwilling to say, you know what, God, you're right, this is stupid. This is the dumbest conversation we've ever had. And there was no peace in my world. There were pieces of my own making. And so you will have this trouble. You will have this stuff like I have. You will have these moments where you are just 100% awesome. And all the gross stuff, just like the toilet scene, the pee and poo water, you're going to find yourself standing in that in life. You're going to be there. You're going to find that. And you're not going to feel peaceful. You're not going to feel rested. Because you're focused on the wrong thing at the wrong time. You're not focused on the redemption that Jesus gave you and made you right with God, the only relationship that really matters in this life. The most important relationship. When you find yourself in that unpeaceful, unrestful moment, you're not thinking about this relationship with God and this Jesus person who came and set things right with our Creator. The sacrifice that he made, this death that he died, this life that he rose, this life that he gives us and tells us to go and give other people. We're not thinking about that. We're thinking about the immediate. We're thinking about the pieces instead of the peace of Jesus. And that's how cool we are as people. That's how cool I am as your pastor. You can leave this church if you so wish, because I don't have it together. If you're looking for some Pope character, because he has it together, you're in the wrong place. But this peace. Dr. Cornelius, I don't even know how to say his last name, Constantinou, he was the author of Social Significance. He says this: the most prevalent nuance to the concept of peace in the New Testament is the messianic peace accomplished by Christ, also known as Jesus, and experienced by the church. That would be us. In the Old Testament, the concept of messianic peace referred to both the absence of hostilities and a reconciled relationship with God and others in the context of the new creation. This messianic peace comes to fruition in the New Testament in Jesus. Jesus' ministry, death, and resurrection. And here in Romans, Jesus achieved messianic peace by the means of his death on the cross, which reconciled people to God and one another. It explains that whereas the Gentiles were at one time outside and estranged from the people of God, through the atoning sacrifice of Christ, they have been brought near to God and his people. That's us, these Gentiles, aside from our few Jewish brothers and sisters that might be in attendance with us. Matt Coulter's one of them. Shalom, I love you, dude. Oh, no, don't put your head down and shake it. Own it, baby. You got it. You got it? In its place, he created peace for all those who united to him by faith, who are now seen as one new person, and who are now reconciled to God and have access into his presence. This is all the stuff Jesus did for us, and you can find that in Ephesians. Jesus himself proclaimed the accomplishment of this peace to his disciples when he appeared to them after his resurrection and blessed them. He said, "Peace be to you." You find that in Luke, and you find that in John. The centrality of Jesus and his work on the cross is evident in that Paul can say of Jesus, "He himself is our peace." In this sense, God is truly the God of peace in Romans 15:33. I awoke from a dream last night. And it wasn't the normal dream of zombies chasing me in a mall. And me with like a cool chainsaw hand. It wasn't that. And rarely do I remember dreams. Rarely do I remember any of this stuff. And I awoke from this dream instantly, and it was creeping me out. It was creeping me out. And then my alarm goes off 2 minutes later, which freaked me out even more. Whoa! And this is like 5:45 in the morning. And so in this dream, there was my refrigerator, or a refrigerator. I don't even know where this room was at. A refrigerator that was open, and the freezer door on top was open. And I thought, that is very strange. Because the refrigerator is running, and as a dad, as a parent, as someone else who pays electrical bills, I'm kind of miffed. I shut the doors in my dream. And then I come back, and all of a sudden, hey, my freezer door is open, and my refrigerator door is open again. And for whatever reason in my mind, I'm saying, okay, this is something otherworldly that's opening my refrigerator doors and just leaving them open. You guys like dreams? They make a lot of sense, don't they? So in my mind, as I'm closing the refrigerator door for the second time and the freezer door for the second time, I'm thinking, this is otherworldly. This is something that's not right. This is something that's dark. This is something very dark. And then all of a sudden, I start thinking, well, how am I going to How am I going to expose this darkness? And then all of a sudden, it's not this refrigerator scene anymore, it's this theater. And there's shades, like this. And I remember saying, I've got to figure out what's going on here. This is dark, this is really dark. And so I open these shades, and all of a sudden it exposes these dark figures. They were just like shadow people. And these shadow people started coming after me. And I remember praying, just proclaiming the name of Jesus, saying, Jesus, you know, you gotta help, you gotta take care of this. I don't know what to do. In Jesus' name, leave. In Jesus' name, and it's not working, it's not working, it's not working. And then I recall this passage as the disciples were trying to cast a demon out of this, I think it was a child or a woman. And they said, we can't figure this out. And Jesus tells his disciples, that's because this particular instance, you need to just pray. This one only comes out through prayer. And so I start praying in my dream. I don't know, I may have woken you up praying out loud in my dream. That would be weird. If I ever do that, please film it on your phone. But I start praying, and I start praying for all this darkness, for all these dark figures that are continually coming after me. And I start praying, and I touch them as I prayed. And all of a sudden, this darkness, this dark figure, this shadow person was gone. And I wake up after this happens 3 to 4 times in my dream. I wake up, and 2 minutes later, my alarm goes off. And I wake up, and I said, what is this about? So if there are any interpreters of dreams out in the audience, please help me out, all right? I wake up, and I say, what is this about? What does this mean? What is this unrest? What are these things? What is this? And as I try to piece it together since 5:45 this morning, I'm coming to the conclusion that these are all these things that are this unrest, these things that in my life I allow to creep in. These things in my life I allow to just be awesome, like not going to war with my wife for almost a week and being a really awesome husband. I allow that to happen. I allow that to be remain in the shadows, remain in the dark. And because of my allowing that, I don't feel peace. I don't look to God for peace in that. Because I refuse the peace. I refuse to acknowledge what He's done for me because in the moment I want to act like I've got no grace. Like I've never received anything. Like I've never received reconciliation from what Jesus did. I default to this old way. And because in that moment, I choose something other than God. I choose something other than what I know to be true in His Word. I choose something other than to love my wife with the redemption that I've been given. Because I want to do something different. It's my own selfishness. It's my own pride. It's incredible how poisonous that stuff is. And so I awake, and these shadow figures are coming at me, and I start praying over these things, and I start leaning on Jesus. I start leaning on the things that He already said. I start actually talking about Jesus. Jesus, I can't do this on my own. And He said, you're right, 100% you're right. Ain't gonna happen, man. And then these shadow figures start disappearing one by one as I start giving them to Jesus. And these shadow figures, I'm 100% convinced, are these things that I've held on to that blind me from this peace that God has actually created in my world. That blind me from the peace that is actually supposed to be given away to other people. And so I want to shed light on that. I want to show you how awesome I am to show you how awesome you are, hopefully. And I want to shed light on all these different areas where you refuse to look at the peace that God has given you through Jesus, the redemption that God has given you through Jesus. This reconciliation, this justification, this righteousness that we cling to. We need to look at that seriously in our own lives. We need to throw the curtains wide open and see all these things coming at us, see these things that we've allowed in our life, and we need to just give them to God, who's already asked for them in the first place. Who's already died for those in the first place. Who's already rose again and given new life in the first place. We need to trust in that. We need to cling to that. And then you'll start to see the world in a different way. I now see this crappy process that Paul talks about rejoicing in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. Because if I, in all of my glory, and I'm pretty glorious, I'm sure you would agree. Whoa, it just got really heavy. No one's laughing anymore. Maybe you weren't laughing to begin with. If I, in all my glory, can change, if I, in all my glory, can be made nude, if I, in all my glory, can see Jesus while standing, if I, in all my glory, can hear from Jesus and be corrected by Jesus, if I, in all my glory, gain hope from that, so can you. So can you. You too can be at peace. How do I know this? Well, because Scripture tells us that God already created that for us. But it's going to come at you recognizing that peace. It's going to come at you recognizing Jesus for who he is and saying yes to that. God, I'm all in. And if I can do it, you can too. Because I'm pretty stupid. I'm pretty selfish. I'm not a smart man. I was not blessed with good looks. I'm thinking of some movie quote now. My mind just went on a rabbit trail. But somebody said amen, so that thank you. Thank you. But if I can do it, so can you. Because God loves my jacked up soul just as much as he loves yours. God, we want to lean on that peace this morning. We want to lean on the things that we don't understand. Father, we want to acknowledge that we experience peace when we trust in Jesus and grow in faith. God, as Paul prays, for when we ask that the God of hope might fill us with all joy and peace and believing. God, Paul even says that and promises that when we cast our cares on God through prayer, the peace of God, surpassing all understanding, will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So that's what we ask, God. We want to cast these cares on you. We want to cast these pieces that we've lived in. Instead of true peace, we want to cast these pieces on you and the hopes and promises that you've given us and the corrections that you will give us, God, that produce endurance, that produce hope. God, may we look through the pieces. May we look through the pieces to see peace. God, expose these blind spots. Expose these shadows in our world where we choose something other than you. Where we choose to pick up war with you again instead of just living in peace that you've brought to us. God, speak life into our situation. God, I also pray for those people, again, that we know that are far from you in our world, in our life. God, work on their hearts, work on our hearts as we, some of us have to work up that courage to just invite someone to just hang out with us here or in Nebraska or wherever we're from. God, bring peace in that situation, knowing that what you say is truth, knowing that what you say is life, knowing that what you say is hope for all humankind. God, may we rest in that. May we respond in faith. May we respond in obedience. May we respond in love to the love that you've given us. And it's in your name we pray, and everybody said, amen.